Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 48.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know a little bit more about me, feel free to visit my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have my...
Now I just gotta just be like this the whole entire time.
Just gotta lean it back.
I gotta just lean back.
Just low ride it.
Oh my god! I think it's finally. Okay, now that I've taken up 4 hours of your time, just came here. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Everett.
Oh my god, this tastes really good.
What kind of coffee are you drinking?
Oh.
Now I really need to know. I know that's always my lead-in question, but now I really need to know.
I don't drink coffee.
What are you drinking then?
I'm drinking some fruit punch. Okay. With punch with my initials. That matches my logo.
It does. It does match your logo.
This is the only cup I was thinking about using. Oh God, I think I got it. Yes.
Yes,
I think
you got it.
It's all in the frame. It's in the frame. Okay, I don't want to be either retentive about this now. Over. So yes, I'm ready.
If you don't drink coffee, how do you generally start your day? Like, do you have some sort of routine or
Meditation.
Meditation. Okay.
I do meditation every morning. I sit for however long, fall asleep. I'll eat oatmeal. Tom Antolese, well, he doesn't like oatmeal. That's why I'm laughing, because he just popped into my head. And I can't wait to see this episode, because he's going to laugh. You don't know my last name? Tom hates oatmeal. He hates it. So that's what he's going to get for his birthday. I'm going to get a package of oatmeal. So I do that. I do meditation, and then usually have a list of stuff that I need to do for the day and clients and stuff. That's what I do.
And you wear a lot of different hats in the production chain. How did you get started in the entertainment industry as a whole? Like, did you start as a director, or did you start in casting, or where did?
I started in animation production. I started actually in the color copy room. So in animation, before everything was digital, we had to color copy all of the backgrounds, all of the character designs. At the time, they used to call them layouts. So we would copy, I would say, you know, color copy is each of the backgrounds, characters, designs, and the layouts had to be ink and paint. So they would take the ink and paint, people would color everything to model. And we would have to color copy the actual samples, keep it on our end, and we would ship the actual design and artwork to Korea. Gotcha. So we're talking about, it depends on the show. Like, say if we sent I'm gonna do a Saturday morning show because I could think of Saturday mornings. We probably sent about 50, depending on the show, 50 designs of it being color copied. And we had to keep track of it because when it went over to Korea, they have teams. So they have an A team, they have a B team, and they have a C team. And they work 6 days a week. So you would hope that you would get maybe A, B team. And we have an American who lives overseas, and he would make sure that when the packages come from America, that they would break it up into three teams, and they would just do the drawings for the animation process. And so if they lose something, we always had copies of everything, and then we would have to fax all the copies. That's why they call us. So I was in the color copy department.
Okay.
And so that was my role for when I first got into the production side of it, and I was working on all shows. Then I moved on to The Simpsons, and then I was considered the shipper. So I shipped over, 200 maybe background designs. Probably character-wise, maybe 50 to 70, because you have to do each character for each per scene. And then I copied over more than 1,000 layouts. So my Friday nights, while everyone's out having a good time and partying, for 1995, 96, I think I did it for a year. I probably shipped over 5,000. Probably 5,000, 6,000 made copies of everything. And it was my responsibility. So the overseas producer would contact me and say, hey, we're missing this scene, act two, scene 30 something. And I have to flip through everything, get that super scene, and then I would have to fax it. Now back then, fax machines was, it was the old fax machines that took forever. So that's what we had to do. So that was my first responsibility. Okay. To, you know, and then I was in charge of the production team, the artists liked me because I would cover for them. I can say it now. I ain't say it then. I used to cover for them because they'd be in trouble. I used to cover for all of the artists. That's why all the actors liked me, because I cover for everybody. I used to come up with crazy stories and tell the producers just used to look at me. And the actors knew you could make up a story. But I used to pick up stories. I said, oh, they sick, they hurt their toe or something, or they kid vomited. I come up with something crazy stuff. Come in with a broken toe tomorrow. Come in, walk slow. You know, it's telling me. So I just turned it into a game because I had to make it fun for me. You know, so that's how I got started.
So how'd you go from the animation side to directing the voiceover side of it?
So then my shows had ended, and then I slipped into casting. I went to casting, and I started casting shows, and I had to learn that. you know, getting on the phone and contacting the agents, and then I had to learn the actors. And then I had to go find new talent too, you know, trying to, because, you know, at that time, back then, back in like the 90s, there were like events that voiceover artists would attend. At least the union actors would attend. And it would just be gatherings of actors of, you know, we called it vocal. I believe it was called vocal. And they would have actors performing. And this was the opportunity for agents who hadn't seen each other, since we all competed against each other, to see each other. And this was also the opportunity for actors to not only hang out with their own agents, but meet other agents. They used to do that. And they used to be at the Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. And it was a fun night. Some of the directors, the casting voice directors, dialogue directors, as they called them, they would show up. So it was fun time. So I learned that aspect from the casting side of the business. Then I went into the booth directing side of the business, because as I was casting and learning all the actors, then you meet a whole bunch of actors who are new, who are SAG and non-union, who never worked in animation. I've worked on that side of the business and didn't realize it. And then had an opportunity to either become an agent or to work with the actors. And what the opportunity of being an agent is, for an agent, you do all the negotiations of the salaries. You do the agent's responsibilities to get the copy. The agent's responsibilities to make sure the client is there and take care of the actor that way. Well, I already did that in casting, so I didn't need to do that. I said I wanted to do something new and different. So I wanted to help the actors work on getting booking animation, because they have never done it before, or helping them book commercials. They had never done it before. And so that's why I chose that side of the business. So that's how I got into it, you know, directing it.
So how did you build yourself as a director? Because I know with voiceover artists, at least on our side, we can go and get coaching from people like you, or there are different ways to build our skill sets. But how does a booth director build their skill sets other than just time in the booth?
I started doing stuff. I started teaching classes around LA. And I honed in on my gift. I always knew I had a certain gift, but I didn't want to specifically put it out there, maybe because it was fair, maybe because I didn't want people to know. And so the best thing that happened to me, and I will give both of them props, was I went on Stacey and Chuck's show called VO Buzz. Mm-hmm. And so when I got on that show, Chuck didn't know anything about me, but Stacey was my client. And so she knew something. I probably wasn't paying attention. Knowing me, I was probably paying attention. And Chuck got to know me really well. But my thought process was, I was just having fun. And I knew I was burnt out doing the agency stuff, because I did it for so long. And one of my actors who was part of Stacey. And then Joan Baker reached out to me to have me appear on some conferences. And that's how really it took off that way. And then I went to VO Atlanta. I can't remember the year. I want to say it was probably 2013, let's say. And I expanded my business that way. And then I thought to myself, and I said, someone said, you could do this on your own. But I said, oh, I know people can't come to LA. We knew back then that everyone had to be in LA. But I felt what I brought to the table was I bring LA to them. That's what I did. And that's how I expanded that way. I had to think outside the box. And so when everyone found out, it was told to me, I'll share this. It was told to me that was the first that started the ball of going back and forth. Actually, I was competing with one of my colleagues. My colleague was doing it probably internationally, and I was doing it domestically. I'll say it that way.
Do you still feel like living in LA, especially after the pandemic and stuff, do you still feel like LA is a necessity for people that are wanting to get into bigger animation? Or do you feel like there are possibilities to be able to do it remote across the country?
I think that you have to get yourself established.
Right.
I think it's in order yourself to get yourself established and find out what's happening here. People have moved here. They've totally moved here. I think that people are not going to know who you are. I think it's going to be a much more difficult challenge for the actor. I will say it that way. But I think because of the resources and because of the present situation that what's happening, the online stuff has given you access to people who you can study with. At least I do it for my students, personally do it for my students that I bring, and that's kind of like my gift to everyone. I bring stuff to people, whether it be in person or online. And my students, my consistent students who come with me, they've noticed that, oh, I've brought agents to them. I've brought directors to them. I've brought people in specific fields who I know who are strong in that area. And so that's what I do. I strategically do that.
Gotcha. So most of your business is on the acting portion and then on setting them up for success.
I do build people's careers. I'm a one-man shop.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. I will say that I am in trouble. Because the list keeps growing and growing. But right now I've got everything handled. But I will say I'm enjoying. I've had other opportunities to direct. I've done, if I have the time, direct a show or something like that. I've done that. But it's something that inside me that to get an actor from point A to point B, and once I've done it, or I feel I've done it, I move on and I don't think about it. But it's success for me when an actor will see me, and it happened to me recently at VO Atlanta. They said, hey. I was like, hey. Go away. So when I say hey, I'm like, I don't know if it's a hey of, did I piss you off? Did I steer you wrong? They said, no. They said, you did something 3 years ago, or you said something 3 years ago that stuck with me. And as a result of that, my career has gone this way. I said, okay. Okay, so what I said was true. They say, absolutely, what you said was true. And that's a good feeling for me, because at least I know that what I'm putting out there is the truth. And that's what I believe in. Speak in your mind, saying what you have to say, speak your truth. And that's just who I am.
Yeah, no, I mean, you said something to me 2 years ago, and that was quit worrying about the money so much and focus on the acting. And that has propelled me more than I can ever. Yeah, you have a tendency of doing that.
Sometimes I have a tendency to do it, don't even know I said it or just did it. Oh yeah, I do.
What is the most memorable booth directing session that you can have, at least if you can talk about it? I'm really curious. What's the most memorable one to you?
And my actor's water broke. Well,
ooh.
And I won't say who. And the people who I worked with, who I represented, know kind of sort of know story. Yeah, that's the most memorable. My actor's water broke. Wow. And they went and I heard it. That's all I should say. And that's I heard it. I remember my agent just looked at my agent's door, looked at me, and they just said to me, "You heard it?" I said, "Oh, that's what that was." Oh, okay. That's what that was. So yes, we're actually really close to this day. Mm-hmm. That's the memorable. I mean, that cannot top anything else. Not. You know, I mean, you know, it didn't really like happen, but it was just the thought that it just.
Right.
And then it was like, are you okay?
Did you use the sounds for like a different project later? Did you guys keep the sound clips or?
No, it wasn't a sound clip. It was the moment of it. It happened. It was happening, I would say. Okay. But I heard something, but I didn't know what it was. But I just, and then the person just left. They just went to go have their baby.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, and then we got the phone call hours later that, oh, they've given birth. And I said, oh, that's what that pop was. And they're like, and everybody just looked at me. They're like, you heard it? I said, yeah, I just didn't, you know, I was editing at the time, but I wasn't really, you know, paying attention to it. But I said, I've heard it. And we just moved on. And then we laughed about it later on. I said, oh, that's what I heard that. It was like, oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Then maybe what is the most memorable piece of direction that you've given somebody?
I have to really go back. Memorable piece of direction. I probably, you know, I do so much. I either, oh.
Yeah, but everybody has that moment where
I will say something that memorable piece of direction and I gave some money. I think I was thinking about this. That's the other story that I'm going to hold that one. That's pretty interesting too.
Okay.
Probably when I will hear something of the actor and I relate it to them as a person. Okay. Meaning I can home in and I will say, it's kind of like my intuitive kicks in.
Right.
I have a really intuitive side that will home in and I can pull a direction out of somebody. And I think I might've said something to, it had to do with their, okay. Well, that's not memorable, but I will relate to like a relative. Okay. And they know I've never met their relative before in their life. I've done that several. I did that with one of the actresses, and she freaked out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she freaked out. It was great to see her, watch her, you know. And she was like, "Oh my God, you like just described such and such to a T." Yeah, pretty much. Didn't know. So that's one of those memories.
Was that learned or was that natural?
Mm-mm. It's just natural. It's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. I was just given with this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I don't want to mix up with, oh, everyone think I'm so intuitive or psychic or whatever you want to call it. That's just a natural gift that was just given to me, and didn't choose to use it because I didn't want to mix the two. It's two different things for me. Meaning mixing it into my personal as well as mixing it into my business and my career. But it was like, and I've been told to be, is that you need to use that gift for people's careers because you'll never know the stuff that you do for people. So I use it, you know, whether I'm directing, I'm using it, or I'm using it for building their careers. Mm-hmm. And the other memorable story too,
yeah,
that I can remember is I told, I had a student who came to my class and, she came to me and I could tell she was trying to, I didn't know she was trying to press me. And I'm like, please don't try to press me. Just be you. I tell when people try to press me. And I told her you can do kids' voices within 30 seconds. She opened up her mouth. Said, you need to be doing kids. And then I made her go sit down. You need to go sit. Because she was trying to show all this other stuff to me. And time went on. So about probably 2 or 3 years later, she saw me at a party. And I saw her at the corner of my eye. And I was like, oh, God, here she goes. I didn't remember who she was. I remember her face. But she beelined towards me. So I was like, I just walked in the door. You know, you've been stuck in traffic. You know, you just want to just take a minute.
I want to get my drink first, right?
Right. And well, she didn't let me do that. She just beelined. And then she said, you don't know who I am. I said, no, I know who you are. And I remember, then I looked at her. I said, oh, you changed your hairstyle. But I described her everything that she wore to that class. And she said everything you told me. Years later, she said, about doing kids' voices. She said, see, you were responsible for me getting an agent out in LA because I do kids' voices now. She said, you told me that 3 minutes into the class. So, and that's a home skill for me, you know.
Yeah. I guess that's what makes you valuable as a casting director.
Valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can hear it. Mm-hmm. Pick parts.
And with a lot of the coaching that you do, mm-hmm. the thing that I hear repeatedly that you like to hone in on is getting out of your head. Like what?
I said that with everybody.
Yeah.
I said that with everybody. Patrick Kushner, because I know he's going to be looking at this because as soon as I tell him, Patrick Kushner, get out of your head. And as Patrick told me, it means different connotations for everybody. You can hear it. What happens is that people, they're thinking about stuff. I don't know what they're thinking about. So what you thinking about? To think about what I might want to hear or the direction of the character and where it should go instead of just naturally just coming out and just doing it. Because I think if they're thinking, what's a right and wrong answer? And there's no right or wrong answer. This is not school. Make a decision, stick to it, and do what you have to do. But people don't do that. So they get stuck.
Are there exercises that you go through with your coaching?
Exercise. They need to go run, jump, hop, skip, go play a board game, go ride a bike, go running, go swimming. You need to do a physical exercise to get you out of your head. Go do something. Go cook something. Go have a conversation with somebody. Then come back to do it. That is just as simple and basic as that. You have to physically distract yourself to go have some fun. Go play Wii, if that still exists.
It does.
I think I'm dating myself.
So what are other common problems that you usually see when people are first coming to you?
They're acting. There's no acting background. No acting at all. And I just got a phone call today from somebody. And said, common problems. Oh, I've been doing this for a while. So what was the last time you taking acting class? Oh, I haven't. Oh, okay. That should be the first thing you should do is take an acting class and do an improv class. Oh, but such and such. Oh, okay. I haven't worked with you, but okay.
Now, when you say an acting class, do you mean a general acting class?
A general acting class where, and when I mean an acting class, I'm not talking scene study. I'm talking an acting class where you can be a fool. You can go have some fun. You need to find an acting class and say, listen, I don't want you to just take it because of a voiceover. I want you to take the acting class so that way that wall that you have up, that shyness or whatever you want to call it, you need to be uncomfortable to be comfortable. That's the acting class on the play. And then go ahead and get, when you have nerves of steel, go take that improv class. When you shy and, oh, I'm shy to be in front of people and all that, go take an improv class. Get over your fear. Get over your fear. Get over your ego. That's the only way you're going to be able to connect to characters, copies that you're reading. You've got to get over that fear. It's a fear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know themselves. I get that. I'm like, you don't know yourself. I can tell. You don't know who you are. It's okay. It's all part of the journey, you know? but you'll figure it out. You know, I'm not even doing this for your, this is also for you as a person. You know, there's a lot of people that's walking around and don't know who they are, you know. Right. So, and it's okay if you can't figure yourself out. That's totally fine. But in order to, I mean, in order for you to just be able to be vulnerable and play more and not worry and not think about stuff, you'll be able to connect. If you don't do those things, you're not going to be, it's going to be tough for you, because all you're doing is, oh, it's a character, but your point of view is not going to come across. You're going to just be reading. And you're competing against people in the video game world. It's now all over the world because they're all doing the exact same thing. Animation, it might be different. It might be, you know, character stuff on the East or West Coast. But video games is all over the world.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, anime, dubbing, all over the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to, I call it, for me, it's a tap. I use words like that, or it's a step in to and become and allow yourself to be, you allow your authentic truth to come through in that character or whatever you're working on.
Did you ever have that trial yourself when you were becoming a director, where you had to figure out who you were before you started directing people?
No, because I'm insane. I already know that. Everybody know I'm insane. And I know AJ probably laughing at me right now too. Mm-hmm. The thing what I learned, I will say it at my, I call it aware because I'm hearing it now. I've become more aware, especially in the actors when I was working with them at the agency that I was working for. And even when I started teaching, I have to learn personalities. I can't direct anybody unless I know who you are. I'm not gonna just, you know, especially like if people come to me for audition coaching. Oh, I want to book this. Well, who are you? I mean, you just went ahead and you just emailed me. I need to know if you can even act. I don't know anything about your background. I don't know anything. So I sit and I have, you know, a few minute conversation. Tell me about your world. Tell me about your life. So I can at least get myself to figure out how I'm going to direct you on this piece of copy. Because everybody is different. We're all different. That's the way I direct. I think I can get a better performance out of you if I know you. That's just me. Maybe other directors do different, something different, but that's just the only way that I taught myself and learned about myself. Like, oh, okay. And as it was said to me, my relative said to me, you know, that's a gift that you can get in somebody's head. And I've learned to transcend myself into people's head to go, oh, this way, and then use references. You know, if you're millennial, it's a little bit more challenging because I don't know those. they don't know who.
TikToks to figure out the link.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, and I'm a TikTok fan now, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's something
you have to learn it.
Right, you gotta learn.
Yeah, I have to learn all that stuff. I've got to be aware of what's happening with the different generations, you know, and stuff like that. But that's what I do with, you know, at least when I'm directing, I'm like, okay, that's why I like the private coaching. I get a sense of who they are. And then I'm like, okay, this is what you know, what's missing. I don't care if you go see anybody else. I don't have no ego. Mm-mm. That's a family thing. You don't have no egos in my family. I don't care. Mm-mm. I don't have no egos and stuff like that. I'm one of those ones that everybody will get a little bit out of everybody, and everybody will share, because the true person will say, this one taught me this, this one taught me this, this one taught me this. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a giver, and that's just how it's going to be. Everybody can go, and everybody's not a right fit.
Right.
You know, so I incorporate all of that. So even if people, I could feel it, you know, people, you know, it's kind of like tough love. Some people don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, you know, that wasn't how they were just raised. They're like, oh my God, you know, who's this person being tough on me? But, you know, it's a fear. You know? And so, you know, so I've got to be the one to give it a tough love.
Yeah. Jesus. And I appreciate it. It's, I mean,
you know, that's just who I am. You know, I don't want to go ahead and give nobody no false hope. I don't want to give nobody no BS. I don't have the time. I only got a little bit of time on this planet left. I could probably got another 50 some years, because I outlive a whole lot of people. That's what's going to be funny. That's what's gonna be funny.
It's all that meditation and oatmeal.
That's all that I've been telling, right? Exactly. And that's right. I just now gotta learn to just go out for walks and get some sunlight on my head. I'd be just fine. And traveling and be like, I'm not getting on that plane. I don't feel right.
I'm doing that. Put my fate in someone else's hands
today. Not today. No, can't go out like that. Nope. So
what do you do outside of work? Like, what do you enjoy? What do you do to get out of your own head? What do you go and do watch around soaps. LA? And I have a question from Pace Jatrick about hot chicken.
Oh, jeez. Is this live?
No. Jace just told me to ask you about the hot chicken thing.
I cannot eat hot chicken at all. I cannot. My lips literally will burn. I tell you, Nashville has some great food. If you want diabetes, move to Nashville. I will promote that. Nashville got some great food. I'm not even going to lie about that. That was the best. Woo. Can't go over there much. I'm overdue for a trip.
I'll meet you over there.
Bowling is fun.
Okay.
Beach. I'm a beach person. I'm getting old. Like, I tell my knees about to go out. So I don't know about that mountain stuff, but I'll do it. I like traveling. Traveling actually relaxes me. I like going to see new places. You know, I like doing stuff for like short trips, like five days. That really, you know, and I'm not one. I mean, if I see a little bit of it, I'm good. I'll get a shot glass, or I'll get something. I'll get a t-shirt. I'm good. I don't need to see, listen, I'm the quietest kid, but I've never seen the Statue of Liberty. Let's be clear about that. And I'm from the States, okay? I'm like, so this stuff I hadn't seen or touched or what you call it. But yeah, so that's what I do. I can tell I'm getting old. I do Rummy Cube. Sure, Roy's going here. He's like, that's not old. That's not what old people do. I play Rummy Cube. I play video games, believe it or not. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, I play video games. I play old video games. I play new video games. I play old ones.
Now, define old. Like what?
I play Galaga. Okay. I play Space Invaders. I play Ms. Pac-Man. The only reason I did that because I was in Georgia and my cousin got a game room. And I was down there for hours. So I do play. I don't play Pong. For those of you who know that is. I don't do amusement parks, but I will go to an amusement park, but I won't get on those rides. I think they're trying to get me to go to Disneyland. I'm gonna go to Disneyland or Disney World. I don't know about going on those rides. I'm thinking a little too old now to be doing that. Cause I like life too, you know, I'm not with that dropping stuff. But that's what I do for relax. To relax, hang, I like to hang. You know, family members I go see, I go hang, we just hang out, you know. Stuff like that. Even the actors, I go grab the actors and I'll have a small gathering, you know, like a coffee shop or restaurant, probably like a restaurant in LA. I've done that, you know, just to connect people because I feel that's important for me. That's important to me, you know, to do that. The people we, you know, especially here, what we do here, and I think they do it in New York. When I sometimes I go to New York, it's important for me that people to connect with people, especially because you guys all have the same interests. That's just something that's just natural important to me in the event that, you know, something happens, because at least it's a connection that people will have, you know, so.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So if you were to take, write yourself a letter now and send it back in time to when you were transitioning from animation to booth directing, what would you tell your past self?
Be patient. Trust everything's gonna be all right. Stop worrying. You got this.
Got this.
I got stuff all around. I ain't got my glasses on, but that little triggers. Think bigger. I call myself, I like to knock down mountains. Nothing stops me. I figure it out. I'm determined. So I have stuff like, that's what I do on motivation. I do motivation stuff for the actors because you guys need it. And trust me, I feel it. So I started doing that. I was at a time doing videos, but then it was like, oh Lord, my poor editor Stephen Coghill was like, oh my God, you gotta do it again. I'm like, I'm not doing this video again. You need to do it again. Guess I'm gonna do it again. So, you know, it's a thing of, you know, you have something, and I feel like I have something. I have to keep pushing people, because what happens is the world, whatever happening in your personal life, it's happening, things are happening. And so there's gotta be that one thing to give momentum. You never know who might've lost a parent or a pet. You never know they lost their voice. You never know that people have been doing the exact same thing over and they can't get a breakthrough. I've had people who reached out to me that's like, let's see if I can, what you call it. I've done that for people. You know, I'm thinking of somebody right now who I need to push myself, because I gotta get that connection. So they in my brain right now. He's like, you didn't help me. I'm like, that's because you just popped into my brain. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my purpose. I figured out what my purpose in life was when I was at the agency. It came to me like that. It's like, this is what you can do for the community. I said, okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware of, but that's the letter that I would have just have words. It wouldn't be a paragraph, it would just be words. Right. And that would just trigger me.
Mm-hmm. So where can people find you so they can figure out how to get out of their heads and help you fulfill your purpose in life?
EO@voiceactingdirector.com, and have Andrew Morris in the subject line so I know who and where you came from. Because I get many people across the world and I'm just be like, who? And what? And don't be surprised, which is my favorite. Don't be surprised if you get a phone call, because that's my favorite. That's my favorite is for people to go, and then I say, I need you to breathe, because it's not that deep. I'm not a prime minister. I'm not of high importance. I'm just being polite, and I'm returning your email through a phone call because it's faster than me emailing.
That was the first time we ever talked, was you called me.
Mm-hmm.
You said, what's your phone number? Call me.
Now, I'm doing it now. And I can have that easy, faster conversation so I can decide what I need to do for you. So that's what I do for people.
Well, thanks mm-hmm. for coming on, Everett. I really appreciate it. This was fun.
Well, thank you. I thought you had other motives. I ain't lying, y'all. This was easy. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was going to be easy. I was like, I claim his schedule, but I'm good.
I hope you really enjoyed hearing Everett's journey from the color copy room to becoming the established coach and director he is today. If you want to contact Everett for coaching or directing, shoot him an email at eo@voiceactingdirector.com and tell him I sent you. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.